Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Good afternoon to those listening in the Eastern Time Zone, and good morning to everybody else. You're listening to American Family Radio. We're here for another 25 minutes, and then we'll have Dr. Alistair Begg, who is an excellent Bible teacher. You need to give him a listen. If you don't listen to him already, his program comes on at 11:30 Central Time, 12:30 Eastern Time. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, and Dr. Ray Pritchard. Steve Jordahl joins us in studio. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. Good morning, all.
Steve, Walker, and yours truly, we're in Tupelo, and Ray is in Kansas City. And we're here every weekday. Ray is with us Tuesdays and Thursdays, and Ed Battagliano, that great Italian, is with us on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. What ethnic origin are you, Ray?
English and Welsh.
Pritchard's English, right?
English, and they tell me, I've had a friend from Wales tell me that you go to Wales, it's Pritchard is over there like Jones and Smith is here in the U.S. So, got some English and some Welsh
blood. Hey, you need
blood.
To do you one of those DNA tests and be on a commercial.
You know, I like that. Do that
23andMe, you might find out
whatever.
You're Samoan or something.
Huh? You never know.
I'm half Samoan. I didn't even know it.
You know, you never know what's really going on up your family tree, right? If you just keep going up high enough and out far enough, all kinds of stuff going on.
Now, let me ask you one question about that. You said you're English and Welsh, right?
Right. That's on my dad's side. My mom's side, more from former Czechoslovakia, around Prague.
Oh, okay. Well, your English side, I've always been a bit confused about England, Britain. But I think I've got it down. England is
a country,
proper.
Yeah, England is the nation. Scotland up above, Ireland. Those three comprise Great Britain.
But Wales.
Wales is a district, isn't it? It has its own history and its own language.
Right. But definitely has its own language.
But
right.
It isn't separate. Geographically and politically from England.
What's the difference between the United Kingdom and Great Britain? Okay, who knows the? I don't know the answer.
No,
to that.
I think those are synonymous.
As opposed to
England and Scotland and the Irish.
The
Isles.
UK and or Great Britain would include England, Wales, and Scotland.
Right.
What about Northern Ireland?
And Ireland?
The whole country of Ireland.
I believe it's just Northern Ireland.
Right.
Okay.
That's a good trivia question.
Yeah, there you go.
You write this down.
It's coming on Friday.
I always wondered about that. You hear people say the Prince of Wales or Princess Di was from Wales, right?
It's a country.
It's its own country?
It's a country, right. And within the capital's Cardiff, Wales.
Huh. Still,
hey, my people are over there. I need to go find.
Well,
it's
interesting because you know when Prince Charles' oldest son,
William.
William,
yeah,
Prince
William. I was just guessing
when he was in the army and someone asked him what to call him, just call him William Wales. That's what he said. That's his name, William Wales. What he goes by.
Okay, so England and Wales are separate.
I didn't know that.
I don't know. I'm asking. I should know. I should know that.
Or we should all do a big trip.
We
should
be there you go.
Walker, are you doing?
Calls for a fact-finding mission.
Are you doing the research on that, Walker?
I'm
you don't
not.
Care about this.
I really
don't care. This doesn't interest you at all.
I'm going to find a nicer way to say that.
Yeah.
Rather than just saying,
you know what?
Care.
I bet if you pull up our Facebook live feed, some of our brilliant listeners
will know. Well, we'll move on past this discussion, but I always thought that it was England and Wales were two separate provinces or whatever you want to call it. I'm talking about today.
We don't know the right word to use, do we? That's
no, I don't.
The problem.
And states, for lack of a better term, and Scotland, and the three of them made up Britain. That's what I always thought, but maybe I'm wrong.
We'll find out.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio, where we score a 50 for our geography.
Yeah, apparently.
Our knowledge about...
I'm not sure we get to 50.
No, we're probably not. We're probably being generous. We probably didn't even hit 50% right there on that.
Oh,
but,
man.
But, you know, I would like to know about that. We'll find out about
Somebody
about
will
that.
Tell us.
All right, Steve.
I know you guys were talking about Omarosa, the former Trump campaign or the former Trump advisor who has been fired. Breaking news today, senior Trump campaign official confirmed, at least to ABC, that the campaign has filed arbitration against Omarosa Manigault Newman.
That's your name? Omarosa is her first name?
Omarosa Manigault Newman is her name. And they're filing arbitration for violation of a non-disclosure agreement.
Wow!
So
she's been.
You can't publish a book that talks
secret,
about
secret tape recordings in the White House.
That's all of that is.
No wonder she got fired.
If it's not illegal, certainly the Trump administration, as well as every other administration, as well as a lot of companies, I've had to sign these when I worked in the Silicon Valley. They're non-disclosure agreements, which means when you leave, you can't talk about what you did at this place for a certain number of years or ever, if it's classified or whatever. But certainly she hasn't days. It's years, not
days.
No,
she got this book out in months.
Yeah.
This tells me, Ray, and I'm speculating, purely speculating, but I think the evidence shows to me that this lady, what's her name again?
Omarosa Manigault Newman.
She's been planning this for a while because if you tape, there's multiple tapes, right?
Do you want to hear some of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got.
Let me play you a little bit of the tape. This is Omarosa with Chief of Staff John Kelly, General John Kelly. This was when he was firing her. This is the one that was taped in the Situation Room, which is supposed to be the top secret briefing room. You're not supposed to have any kind
of
recording.
How long is this?
This is a minute.
Okay.
I think it's important to understand that if we make this a friendly departure, we can all be, you know, you can look at your time here in the White House as a year of service to the nation, and then you can go on without any type of... difficulty in the future relative to your reputation.
Can I ask you a couple of questions? Is the president aware of this?
Let's not go down the road. This is a non-negotiable discussion.
I don't want to negotiate. I've never had a chance to talk to you, General Kelly.
Yeah,
so if this is my departure, I'd like to have at least an opportunity to understand.
We can talk another time. This has to do with some pretty serious integrity violations. So I'll let it go with that. So
that was her being let go, and I thought it was a reasonable conversation, apparently. But
yeah, I did too.
Considering she taped a conversation
good night
in the Situation Room. First of all, how does that even happen?
I know, that's what I wondered, Ray.
I mean, suppose there's a difference when General Kelly says, hey, let's just step in here, I've got a private conversation, as opposed to when someone comes and gets you and says, Saudi Arabia has been attacked. We need to go into the Situation Room.
But Steve, I mean, we're speculating, but wouldn't they have sensors or something in a room that would pick up that a phone is recording? I mean,
this is showing that some folks in the White House are a little bit too laxed.
Yeah.
If I'm John Kelly and I'm about to fire her, I'm going to have security frisk her before she walks in the Situation Room. Or if you don't care if she's recording, then you just let her bring her phone in.
And here's another question that I just thought of. I could have looked this up. But where is the Situation Room? Is it anywhere
it's
near?
It's underneath the West.
I've been there. And I'm being serious. I'm not joking.
Is it close to the Oval Office or where John Kelly would normally traffic?
I think it's on the first floor, and the Oval Office is on the second floor. I'm trying to remember. This is 15 years ago.
Here's my question.
Can I tell you about my experience in going to the...
It would lead into your experience.
Let me just finish telling people why I went there, because they're wondering, because they knew I was never elected, Steve.
I would have voted for you.
I thought you were elected.
Huh? No, I was not. I lost. It was close, but I lost. We had some hanging chads.
Yeah. In the rest intact.
You was robbed.
We had some hanging chads in Louisiana that never were counted, but yeah, I moved on from that.
Sorry to rehash that.
George W. Bush,
yes,
was president, mm-hmm. And my wife's first cousin worked in the White House, not at a senior level position, but like in the old executive office, mm-hmm. right adjacent to the White House. And so she was able to get us a after hours, meaning a post 7 o'clock tour of the West Wing. So we got a private tour of the West Wing. Thus, I was able to see the situation room and everything else there, including the press room and Rose Garden and everything. So I was able to answer your question, Steve.
It was a very good answer.
From a first-person experience.
Let me tell you why I asked it. Because if it is anywhere close to where Omarosa or John Kelly would have trafficked in a normal business day, then maybe he just pulled her into the first quiet room he could find. But if it's off, if it's down a floor, and he purposefully took her down there so that they could be private, so that it would be a room that they wouldn't be overheard, or I mean, he mm-hmm. that's the place he goes to fire people or whatever, but you have to make an effort to get there.
Right.
Then if she records it, then I do have the same concerns you have.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday, you know, I just think this is a one-day story normally. I don't think the president's helping himself by engaging on Twitter about it because a person was let go from the White House. It happens in every administration. It'll happen next week, probably a month from now. Somebody will leave the White House. But I would fault her more than I would the president, obviously, in this situation, because she's been taping. If you don't have taping, this is why you said she's in potential legal trouble, this non-disclosure violation, right?
Yeah.
Been taping conversations at the White House with the president, unbeknownst to the president, and I guess maybe other people who worked in the White House. You get up every morning, roll out of bed, get dressed, go to the White House, and go, I'm going to see who I can tape today. How long do you do that? And then, Ray, you tape your boss who brings you in to let you go. I'm talking about your boss being Chief of Staff John Kelly. And then within 3 months, you're writing a book on all this? And then she went on the Today Show yesterday, this woman, and had on a dress that was one shoulder. I don't know if you saw this or not. For lack of a better term, people go out to nightclubs in.
A cocktail dress.
Yeah, it was a cocktail dress with one shoulder bare. I mean, she got up that morning and go, you know, I wonder what I should wear for this today's.
To look dignified, right?
I guess.
That'd be ironic.
Okay. I don't get irony very good, Ray. That's why I don't use it. And that was ironic right there. Did y'all get that? She wore this dress. Something's going on in her head where she's going, I hope people look at me and pay attention to me today because I want a gig on The View. Or I want somebody to do a movie about my life. That was what it was screaming with her appearance there on the Today Show. Anyway, the president would do better just to leave this alone, and he shouldn't have called her a dog, even though I know he felt that way. That's not presidential,
right?
In my opinion. If she'd have been a man, I'd have had an easier problem with him calling that, because what she did was like a dirty dog. You know, you would say that behind...
On the other hand, Tim... Why in the world did he put her in any position in the first place?
I agree.
What possible role could Omarosa have in the White House?
I know. That's his fault, quite frankly. He shouldn't have ever brought her in the first place if he knew that she had this kind of potential. All right, next story, Steve. Enough Omarosa.
Well, I might have an answer to how Omarosa got the tape thing into the situation.
Okay,
maybe she had an 11-year-old helping her. It seems that they have been having a hacking convention in Las Vegas. It's called DEFCON 26.
Are you serious?
I am serious. This is legal. This is hackers that they brought together, and they give them tests. And one of the tests that they gave them was Florida's election website. Now, it was a mock version that according to, after the story came out, the Secretary of State there says, well, it didn't have all the security that we normally have, but I don't know. An 11-year-old boy and an 11-year-old girl both hacked in to Florida's election website, the mock one set up, and changed the results. The girl made it look like Libertarian candidate Daryl Castle had won Florida's presidential election in 2016. In total, 35 of 39 participants aged 16 to 17 successfully hacked into mock versions of Secretary of State websites in six swing states. They tampered with vote tallies, party names, and candidate names, changing the tallies to number like 12 billion votes and candidate names to Bob DeBuilder and Richard Nixon's head. There's your hacking community right there. And doesn't it make you feel good about our election?
Hey, is their last name Russian is what I want to know.
Duh. I don't know.
So, yeah. They didn't give the names. They're hackers. Boy, yeah. 11-year-old boy and 11-year-old girl were able to hack into this. This mock-up of a Florida.
Yes.
Good night.
Maybe we need to revert back to paper ballots.
Well, then you got the Chads again.
This whole tech...
Computerized
voting sounds like it's going to go down a bad road.
I've often wondered that myself. Now, I think most states do have physical... Votes are counted in a computerized fashion, if that's the way you express it.
Right.
But you have to physically fill out a ballot.
So it could be double checked,
is what I'm
saying. Well, that's in most cases, but some cases, like up in Chicago, in some of those areas, they just have a computer screen. There's no paper that you get
no
a pen out.
No paper at all?
No.
Right, there's nothing to
and
punch.
You just click
right.
the screen. You click on
I don't trust that.
And remember, there were reports that they would click on the Republican candidate in 2016, but then it would show that they voted for the Democrat.
Yeah, that was
so.
Yeah.
But I agree,
I
don't you gotta have
if
a
you
paper
got
ballot.
Straight, if you got a straight computerized system with no paper, I don't trust that. Do you, Ray?
Better hire some 11-year-olds
That's
to
right.
guard the system.
That's right.
Really.
For voting. I think you need right. It doesn't take 2 minutes. It takes whatever. People can fill out and then you slide it in and it counts it. That way somebody can at least double check, spot check to see that the physical voting is matching up with the computerized voting. You're listening to the radio program, the computerized tally, I should say, from the voting machine. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim with Walker and Steve and Ray. Next story, Steve.
Well, the Middle East is not close to being settled. The Taliban and...
Is this a news flash, Steve?
Well, no, okay. It hasn't. But we're now finding that the Taliban and ISIS are both acting up in Afghanistan, in the eastern and southern parts of Afghanistan, with Brigadier General Lance Bunch, who's the top U.S. air commander in Afghanistan, saying that ISIS has tried to establish its own caliphate twice in this last year. And then in eastern and southern Afghanistan, the Taliban is on the verge of dramatically expanding its control. Afghanistan has always been a mire that no country, Russia, nobody that's ever gone there with any kind of military objective has ever gotten out clean.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying ISIS and the Taliban are active?
That's what I'm reading. One story from the Washington Times and other.
Taliban's been active for
decades,
hundreds of years, and they're going to be active 100 years from now. And there's nothing you can do about it. So.
And at one point, we were working with them back in the day to defeat Russia.
Well, the thing is, this is why we all, and when I say we all, a lot of Trump voters, Trump supporters, suggested that he pull out of Afghanistan, pull out of some of these areas a year ago. But instead, he doubled down and said, no, we're going to stay there. And as a matter of fact, we're going to send thousands of more troops there. But this is a never-ending war. We're going on 19 years.
Yeah.
2001. So you're not going to defeat...
So you disagree with the president on that?
Yeah, I think you need to pull out. This is obviously a never-ending war.
It is a never-ending war.
There's always going to be terrorist cells over there. There's always going to be Taliban and ISIS. And if you're betting on exiting the Middle East when we completely defeat the Islamic ideology, the jihadist ideology, it's never going to happen.
Well, I mean, we've been there, what, is it 17 years now since 9/11? I mean, we moved into Afghanistan right after 9/11. Mm-hmm. We're still over there all these years later.
Well, what they said, you know, the reason we went over there is because of these Al-Qaeda, which was bin Laden, you remember, they had camps over there, training camps for terrorist activity were located in Afghanistan, and we knew where they were. And so I had no problem going in there and going after those places. But to set up camp, so to speak, or in this case, America just sort of built a house over there in Afghanistan, mm-hmm. you're going to be fighting the Taliban. The Taliban is a group of people that live all through that region of Afghanistan, all through those mountains and everything. And they have their own way of life, and they have their own beliefs, and it's Islamic fundamentalism. And you're never gonna defeat that. It's an ideology. And so I'm with you guys here. I don't know how long you stay. At some level, you do have to trust our military commanders to know that they are investing time, energy, and personnel into things that really matter. And if they tell President Trump, Walker, to your point,
right.
You know, this is worth doing, and you're listening to your generals, I mean, at some point you say, okay, I don't understand why it is altogether, but you're the experts in this. Mm-hmm. But then again, I'm with you. You're never going to win.
Right.
By this. Hey, what about the, before we get out of here, the FBI is saying that the ATMs are going to start issuing out cash?
Yeah, well, if you have the right card, apparently. The FBI has issued a report last Friday that cyber criminals are planning a mass hack against bank ATMs. They're calling it a planned global cash out.
Are this 11-year-olds, 10-year-olds?
It might be. They don't know who it is, or they might know, but they're not telling me anyway. Banks were warned that they could fall victim to an unlimited operation in which millions of dollars could be withdrawn from cash machines. Smaller banks, they're saying, are most vulnerable, and banks in Britain are going to probably be hit first, but all over the world they could. So a couple things.
Has that happened at all? Anywhere? Are they saying it's going to happen?
They said
this is the FBI saying it might happen.
They
right?
said that they have fairly good, that it could happen soon. Soon is the only.
Give me a time exactly, though. That's what I'm looking for.
The next few days.
No, I need more than that. Tuesday
at 12 o'clock.
Do we need to be taking our money out before then, Steve?
Well,
or is it going to be okay?
I'm pretty sure that the FDIC has our deposits insured. So I don't think we're going to have
to worry
about
losing. You're saying it's the banks that
ought
to really
the banks
be
are
worried
risk.
About this.
Now, you might go to your local ATM and be out of money.
Sure.
But it's going to start. It potentially could start spitting out cash.
Well, that's another
reason. These people have cards that have special readers, and they get the cash. They go. It just doesn't spit it out to anybody.
Oh, I got
you. It spits it out to these people who go to the ATM
who
with the special card.
They're in on it.
Yep.
Okay. All right, Ray. Thanks for being on with us today, brother. Hey, good to have you back.
Thanks, Tim.
All right, Walker.
Yes, sir.
Steve, appreciate your contribution.
My pleasure.
To this show, do you have one of those cards?
No, I know a couple 11-year-olds, though, I might ask.
All right. My thanks to Brent Creeley for producing the program and Fred Jackson for being on with us during the first hour. Dr. Alistair Begg is straight ahead with some excellent Bible teaching. And then Janet Mefford, and then on with your day here on American Family Radio. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Take care.